Der Fußball ist zurück in der zweiten Liga und läuft dann in Keeper Freisel rein. Iredale vollendet 4:0.
Beste. Ball kommt in die Mitte und zu Kleindienst! Kleindienst!
Guter. Linke Seite ist blank, vielleicht. Ja, vielleicht! Vielleicht zieht er ihn in Salazar.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Zweite Bundesliga podcast. On today's episode, we'll be discussing all of the action from an entertaining, drama-filled match day 12. There were big Derby Days fan friendship games and everything in between. The Zweite Bundesliga was once again in full force. No co-host with me today, it's just going to be a solo effort, but I do appreciate your company from wherever you are listening to this around the world. Let's begin with Das Derby, or the Niedersachsen Derby. Hanover against Eintracht Braunschweig. Two sides who have had more than contrasting campaigns so far. Hanover, currently in the top five heading into match day 12, and a real opportunity to stake a claim at a promotion place should they get the win over their bitter rivals. Braunschweig, rock bottom. It has been a miserable season. Interim coach Mark Fitzner getting a second attempt. But they had one thing that they wanted to achieve. Improvement. But also win in Hanover. Something they haven't done in league play since 1993. That was a 1-0 victory. Braunschweig were miserable in this game. Very rarely did they threaten. In fact, they threatened only once. In 90 minutes of play, they managed a single shot on the goal of Ron Robertsiele. This game was all Hanover. It was all Stefan Leitl's side. And it was a resounding 2-0 win in the end. Goals from Fabian Kunze, which the ball comes in from Derek Kuhn. Hoffman, I think he's anticipating the deflection. He goes the wrong way. And it's almost, in a way, kind of similar to the goal Ziele gave up last week against Schalke, one that he would definitely want back. There was a scene in the first half where Anton Doncor looked to have fouled Yannick Diem in the box. The referee, Sasha Stegeman, said no penalty. VAR said no penalty. Yannick Diem would leave the game with a shoulder injury. It looked like a penalty when I first saw it live. And then they slowed it down, and it also looked like a penalty. But, you know, correct me if I'm wrong. I'm happy to be incorrect. But to me, it looked pretty late. And maybe should have been looked at, but there was no doubts about the second scene in the box late in the first half. Really poor challenge in the box from Dekali. Penalty won by Louis Schaub. Marcel Halstenberg scores from the spot. It's his third goal of the season, his second from the penalty spot. Hanover have scored 8 goals from the penalty spot this season from their 26. No team has scored more goals from the spot this campaign. Hanover thought they had a third through Nicola Trozzoldi. However, he was offside and that was taken away. There was a lot played out before the game. Hanover lost Cedric Toikat to a muscle injury. So I think it kept Andreas Vogelsammer in the starting 11. They did get Harvard Nielsen back from the suspensions from that red card he had a couple of match days ago. But Hanover were just in control. It was really dominant. They really didn't give Braunschweig any sort of space. They were very good at creating turnovers. It was impressive. But again, you know, we discussed it last week with Tim Eckstein. Braunschweig are just not in a position at the moment to compete. And it showed in this game. And I think the most fight they showed throughout this contest was late in the second half when Ermin Bekacic and Fabian Kunz got into a bit of a dust up near the bench area. Braunschweig, they seemed defeated the moment they turned up, and that's not trying to be facetious. I don't really want to give people the wrong messaging, but they were just not there. And Yannis Nikolaos' red card, which was unlucky, but it was it falls under the category of dangerous play, and I think there was really no issue with the red card in the end. It's looking really grim for Braunschweig. You know, Osnabrück coming up, and then after the break, they've got Hamburg away, and then Greuther Fürth at home. You just can't see them winning of those games. Even with Osnabrück, who we'll touch on a lot further later in the program, there's a little bit of hope. Braunschweig can't score. It's been a real issue for them. They've now lost 5 in the bounce, 7 goals. They've lost more games this season than they have goals scored. The only team in single digits in terms of goal production this campaign. It's been really difficult to watch them. And you know, we spoke about it. Missing Anthony Uja has been a real miss for them. You can tell that structurally they don't have the same sort of confidence in what they're doing. And it depends if whether they've got any sort of financial aid to go out and get a free agent striker. I think that's the sort of the area of necessity they need, because they just need someone who can lead the line. They tried something, you know, they've tried different things throughout the campaign. Whether it's been Kan Kaliskana, they had Florian Kruger as the number 9, and he's not really a number 9. He's more of a outside attacking player. It's just grim. It's just really, really grim with where they're going. They seemed very defensive. If you look at like their sort of midfield setup, you know, Griesbeck can play as a centre back. Nicolau's a very defensive centre midfielder. Dakali, Bekacic, and Ivanov. It's just, yeah, there's clear issues all over the park. And should you know, whether they get a man, you know, Fitzner gets another game in Osnabrück, or they've got someone that they're ready to hire, it's going to be an extremely difficult coaching job to find some sort of, not just balance, but something going forward. There hasn't been really any development. There's a lack of creativity going in the final third. And yeah, it screams of a team that in many ways is in real danger. If the danger wasn't already evident, that, you know, there are so many teams in and around the relegation zone or in the playoff that are just so much better. They've got at least a bit more hope than some of the other teams. Quick word on Hanover. Still not buying what they're selling. I'm going to hold on to that until we're 25 games into the season and see what their Rückrunde starts out like. But they were just always in control. The defensive three had very little to work through. Held large portion of momentum in the game, and it bodes well for them. But their big tests are going to come now. So they get St. Pauli away, which will be a really good game. I believe that is a World Feed game as well. So really good opportunity in America to obviously get some St. Pauli, but a good opportunity as well to see where Hanover stacks up against those teams. Yeah, they are playing the World Feed game. So, look, I'm intrigued. I'm really interested to see how they get on. But can they break down one of the best defences in the league? I guess we'll find out. It should be a fun game. That game will be at the Milan Tor. When they return from the break, they've got Hertha, which will also be a really interesting game given where they're at the moment, and Paderborn away on the 3rd of December. Speaking of St. Pauli, let's talk about them. They made the trip to Elversberg on Friday night, hoping to continue their winning rays. They'd won in the cup, beating Schalke 2-1. Elversberg didn't play during midweek, so they were also hopeful that they could extend their winning run from 7-8. It has been a great run for Horst Steffen's side. There was a lot of attention pre-game about the mascot, the sort of panda that Elversberg have, which definitely seems like the mascots have their own culture. But on the field, this was a very cagey game. Chances were few and far between. It was all about efficiency in the final third, and that was really St. Pauli's MO. A 2-0 win for them. Goals from Johannes Eggestein with a wonderfully worked corner. Definitely a set play. Elversberg really weren't wise to what was happening, but Eggestein sort of lining up at the edge of the 18-yard, well, inside the edge of the 18-yard box. And, you know, Hulkeval was almost turned into a basketball player. He created the screen and just has the neck muscles on Eggestein just to get enough purchase from that position to beat Christoph in the goal. Christoph got a hand to it, but it wasn't enough. And the second goal, Marcel Hartl, just brilliant. He absolutely laces it with a bit of whip and dip, and it cannons off the crossbar and in. Christoph, I think, was expecting a lower shot because he dives towards the sort of the bottom corner And yeah. So Eggestein, we've spoken about him at nauseam. He's continued his great form. He scored in the cup as well. So they've really found a system that's worked for him, because when he came in the summer of last season, he started okay under Timo Schulz and then sort of disappeared, and we were a bit unsure what his role would be. And as much as it was Andreas Albers to begin. You know, since Eggestein has been implemented into the starting 11, not only is St. Pauli continuing their marvellous run of form, but he's continuing his goals. He's got 6 goals in his previous 5 league games. You can say it's 7 and 6 because he scored in the Pokal on Tuesday night as well. I think the positive thing for St. Pauli in particular, they didn't have Eric Smith in this game. It was interesting. There was probably the potential for St. Pauli to rotate a little bit, given the cup game was quite a difficult one for them. Schalke gave them a really good battle, but Hertzler sticking with very similar starting 11, keeping majority of that defensive core together. Only Jugala was the introductory, but the rest, as they were in the cup game. Simoncola, Aminido came on as well. They're just in such a great position at the moment. St. Pauli, everything is going their way, but they're really dominating games. They put themselves in a great position. They are the only team, of course, in the division yet to lose. They are the best defensive team with 9 goals conceded. So they'll get Smith back, we think, for the Hanover game. And yeah, credential-wise, you're feeling really confident about where St. Pauli are at. Hansa Rostock returning from the break, and then they've got the derby, the Hamburg derby, on the 1st of December. I wonder if they maybe could have considered that to be the top game, given that both teams will most likely be 1 and 2 heading into that fixture. Just feels like a missed opportunity in terms of we've got the biggest game, one of the biggest games of the season, and we're not giving it top spiel. We're not giving it top game credibility. We've got, I think it's Magdeburg and Kaiserslautern are going to be doing that game, and I can understand from a travel perspective that makes sense. But yeah, it just feels like if you wanted to isolate a game, that would be the one. 100% that would be the one. But that's a missed opportunity. Elversberg were good defensively. I thought they did some, they were very solid. I mean, to limit St. Pauli to 10 shots in a game is quite good, but they just couldn't create anything. I think they just had real difficulties breaking down St. Pauli in a defensive mechanism. And, that's just par for the course. I think it's a good learning experience for Elversberg, because we were talking about, we want to see them tested. They beat Hamburg during this unbeaten run, and there were a lot of good things that they were doing. But when you get to play a defensive juggernaut like St. Pauli are, it was a real good test to see what kind of response they had. Now, they had a couple of good chances through Schnellbacher, but they just, they couldn't create enough high quality. I mean, 7 shots on goal with shots on goal with an XG of 0.36. Just unable to translate into some quality opportunities. But, they've got another big test, Schalke away on Friday night. And given, we'll talk about Schalke in Group 2, given their recent run, that's going to be a really interesting game for both sides. And to see the response from Elversberg after being beaten by a top side, but also to face another team that has started to pick up a couple of wins on the bounce. It'd be a really good test, and obviously it would be a massive story if Elversberg were to win in Gelsenkirchen. In returning from the break, they'll get Paderborn and then Hertha at the Olympiastadion on the 3rd of December. It'll be interesting to see how many fans from the Saarland will make the journey to the Olympiastadion. The other Friday night game was Fortuna Düsseldorf against Wien Wiesbaden. Düsseldorf were heavily favoured to win this game. They'd just come off a 6-3 cup win against Dritte Liga side Unterhaching. That game was 3-0 at the end of the 90, and Düsseldorf eventually found a way, 3 goals in extra time. Johansson has scored a hat-trick in that game, and he did get the start in this one, but They weren't expecting what was going to happen in the first half. Wiesbaden, efficient, they were ruthless. They created high-scoring chances, and they made the most of those chances. And it started 10 minutes into the game. Hyunju Lee, who's really, like, I think everyone has had come on the podcast, we rave about him. There's a good reason why. But the first goal was kind of a sort of a microcosm of where the game was at, and using quick wide players to expose the fullbacks. So Oberdorf and Ioa. Oberdorf can play fullback. You would argue he's more of a centre back, and Ioa is definitely a left midfielder. And given player availability was a bit leaner for Fortuna, they had to play guys out of necessity, and, you know, credit to Wiesbaden, they took advantage, and Timon Goppel and Amar Kartic absolutely had a field day. They ran riot in this game, and Goppel was first on the scene for the assist. His pass found Lee inside the 6-yard box, and he used the studs to get it past Kastemeyer. It was 2-0. 26 minutes into the game, a flick on from John Iredale to get Kartic in a 1-on-1 with the goalkeeper. And again, a really good finish from Kartic to get his first goal of the season. And it just went from bad to worse, really, for Fortuna Düsseldorf. The penalty, again, on Robin Heuser, fouled by Cholis. And John Iredale steps up. He misses the first penalty. It hits the post. And Fortuna seemed to have cleared. But Jordi De Vries was a little bit too quick to get off his mark. And Iredale gets a retake. And this time he makes sure of it. So 3-0 at the break. And it was panic. It was very much a panic station situation for Fortuna. Not that they haven't been in this situation before. A few weeks ago they did it against Kaiserslautern. And they turned the table to win 4-3. But they just didn't have the clinicalness and sort of polish at the top end. I think losing Vincent Vermeij as early as they did with concussion and a head injury, we hope he's okay. He had blood coming out of his mouth. It was a really, you know, distressing scene, but hopefully he's recovering and doing okay. It put a lot of pressure on Niemic, and Yastrzemski came on in the second half, and he was okay. He gave them a bit of additional grunt going forward. They had their chances, though. I think the statistics don't lie. 25 shots on goal, all told, but only 6 on target. You know, they had a lot of ball and really made a meal of those opportunities. So a defeat for Fortuna. They've been very strong this season. But I think the issue, the last few games, they've been a bit weaker defensively. You know, missing Andre Hoffman seems to be hurting, and you know, given the lack of personnel available in this game, they were very much exposed defensively. And you know, if you look at all three, you know, the first two goals, the first one, you know, Goppel just burns Ioa. They get in behind the defense. It's a really good cross into Lee. The second goal, off turnover, quick transition, and when they have Iredale in the lineup, it's all about letting him use his pace, getting him in one-on-one situations, and having, whether it's Batsner, whether it's Lee, or the two wide midfielders in Kartic or Goppel, to really bring the line and create the sort of the outnumbering situations, and it became a 2-on-1 very quickly because Kartic was not only quick on the scene, but once he got the ball, he was gone. You could see Zibert and De Vries were very much in all sorts of trouble, and yeah, it was just a really good game plan from Kalczynski. Really made it difficult, especially when they got to 3-0 up. They weren't looking to add a fourth, but they held out well. And there's a reason why Wiesbaden, one of the best defensive teams in the league, only 12 goals conceded from the opening 12 games. And a few things on Wiesbaden, because we should talk about them. It's only they haven't scored double-digit goals this season. I think it's the second or third time they've done that. But statistically, 10 points in the last 4 games, that's equal best with St. Pauli over that current stretch. It's the first time that Wiesbaden have ever won 3 consecutive games in the Zweite Bundesliga. and 18 points from the opening 12 games. It is the best start to a Zweite Bundesliga campaign ever for VfL Wiesbaden. So you have to commend Marcus Kaczynski, has done an unbelievable job here. And if we're looking at sort of point accumulation, because I believe that they were in that sort of the playoff bottom three situation at the start of the campaign. We talk about 34 points being the number. That's the golden number to avoid the bottom three, or that's like the safety line. They're very close already. You know, they're only 16 points away from what I would consider safety. And given where Osnabrück and Braunschweig are at the moment, you know, they're not really in any immediate threat of automatic relegation. I know we're talking about this quite early, but they're 6 points ahead of Karlsruhe in 16th. So, and I know this can change. It can change rapidly. This is what the Zweite Bundesliga is all about. It's all the drama and carnage that comes with it. But they are really well placed early on in the season to make a strong attempt at safety, because that's their goal coming into the season. When we spoke to John Iredale in preseason, it was clear speaking to him how confident they were that their team, no matter who they had, was good enough and were going to surprise people. And, you know, to beat Dusseldorf away in the manner that they did, that surprised a lot of people. So they're heading in the right direction. They've got Kaiserslautern on the weekend before returning at Greuther Fürth and at Holstein Kiel. Dusseldorf are heading to Fürth first before a Topspiel game against Schalke on the 25th and then at Nürnberg on the 2nd of December. Let's take our first break, and on the other side, we'll break down our Group 2 games, starting at the Max Morlock Stadion. It's Nürnberg against Schalke. Friendship had to be put to a side for 90-odd minutes when Nürnberg and Schalke did battle at the Max Morlock Stadion on Saturday afternoon. Nürnberg had won in the Cup, beating Hansa Rostock, while Schalke fell to St. Pauli. However, they were hopeful that with an improved defensive performance in that game and the win against Hanover the week before, that they could continue their march away from the bottom three. They were very positive in this game. There was a lot to like about what Schalke were doing, especially the link-up play between Lino Tempelman and Kenan Karaman. But it would be Dominic Drexler who opened the scoring on 35 minutes. Really good play from Schalke to get it to Drexler, and a strong finish. There's been something weird about games for Schalke this season, ex-players coming to haunt them on the score sheet. And wouldn't you know it, just 2 minutes into the second half, Florian Flick, who joined Nürnberg on a full transfer in the summer, got his first goal of the season. It was a bit of a scrappy goal, and definitely Ralf Fährmann was a bit unsighted, but it doesn't matter for Flick, it's his first goal of the season. It wasn't exactly the nicest game to watch, but one thing was pretty evident, that Schalke, in terms of creating high-quality scoring chances, they were a bit better than Christian Fiel's side, and when the game seemed like it was about to head to a draw, the Gelsenkirchen side would strike. A wonderful free kick ball in from Thomas Ovoyan, finding Danny Latzer, an unlikely goal scorer if you've ever seen one. It's Ovoyan's third assist of the season, it's Latzer's first goal of the campaign, and it's 3 valuable points for Schalke. In the context of the season, Schalke are now 15th. They still have one of the worst defensive records in the division, but 2 consecutive wins is a positive sign for them as they prepare for Elversberg on Friday night. Nürnberg, disappointing in the overall context of the game, struggled to contain the transition play, really struggled to stop Lino Tempelman, who I thought had a really good game for Schalke. He's been a bit up and down this season, but the last 2 games in particular in league play under Carol Gerrits has certainly been a lot more positivity in the way that he can be implemented in attacking phases, and you know, losing Simon Terodde before the game. But it does seem we're entering the transition period with Terodde. Poulter came off the bench. I like the look of Karaman and Lasma as your attacking 2. Now, Lasma wasn't as influential as you would hope, but it was interesting actually reading what Carol Gerrits said post game, and it's all about building his confidence, because, you know, so often you would see him as someone that is either going to be really good late in games as a sort of as a joker, someone who can come on and score or be an impact sub, but it does seem like Gerrits really wants him to be a starter. And I tend to agree. I think in this setup with as a two-man front, you can get him into really good attacking situations. He's very quick. So in transition play against slower or poorer defensive plays, he's going to get out the back and have those opportunities. But defensively improved. We saw sort of Murkan and Ovuyan having to help out with the duties. You know, I thought Kaminski and Kallas were quite good in this game as well. Very good result for Schalke in the end, but there's still more to come for them if they are to claw themselves away from the playoff spot, which is not where they want to be. So 4 wins, a draw and 7 defeats. That's where they currently stand. And yeah, they're slowly building. I think it's really about sort of the fight. It's all about the qualities that you'd expect from a team trying to avoid relegation. Is you want to see that they care. You want to see that they're going to fight for every loose ball. It doesn't have to be pretty at the moment, but in this immediate phase where they need to just pick up results and claw their way up the table, if Gerrits can get them in a position where they are, you know, away from the bottom three, you know, the winter break then becomes a real good opportunity to really dive into the intricacies of his particular style of football and what can help bring this team towards the front as the season progresses. For Nürnberg, it's obviously disappointing. They had the opportunity to win 3 consecutive games, but they've won 3 of their last 5. They've been solid. They're in that sort of mid-block of teams on 18 points, 6th to 11th. All on 18 points, just goal difference separates them. They'll be really disappointed with the set-piece concession. It was a classic Ovuyan inswinger that wasn't particularly well defended, and Latza is arguably one of the last players you would expect to get up there and make a play. So it's their 6th goal they've conceded from set piece this season, which puts them 4th worst in the division. So plenty to think about. But you know, they got Paderborn away, and Paderborn are showing some life. But then coming from the break, Karlsruhe, who we'll talk about in Group 3, and then Fortuna Düsseldorf is actually going to be a really good test for them to see how much they've grown and progressed throughout this season. But it does seem, at least initially, defensively it's been a bit iffy still, but in attacking sense they are a lot better than they were this time 12 months ago. Let's head to the top Spiel game. That's Hamburg SV against Magdeburg. Again, the storyline in this game is Tim Walter against Christian Tietz, and Tietz has an incredibly good record against Walter and Hamburg. But yeah, Hamburg were much better. They were just efficient, opportunistic, and they were just the better side by quite a bit. 2-0. They'd be obviously coming off the penalty shootout win against Arminia Bielefeld in the cup, which was a game that they had, I think it was 42 shots. So if you sort of do the math, that's what a shot every, if you include like stoppages, it's about a shot every 3 minutes. And I know that prickled a lot of people with what Jonas Bolt had to say post-game, but he wasn't exactly wrong. Goals coming from Laszlo Benes. Glatzel's shot was saved by Ryman. Benes just was on the spot to pick up the pieces. Yatta scored on 71 minutes. He's been in really good form. He scored in that cup game in normal time. Again, just, you know, some really poor defending from Magdeburg, and that's kind of what you seem to expect now with Magdeburg is defensively, just they're going to break down and the opportunities will come. And, you know, Hamburg were very, very good. They were great in transition play. Looking at sort of what they did differently, we talked about it last week about how we want to see Emmanuel Farai play in more progressive areas. We actually did get to see that a bit in the cup, but here he was playing in that midfield 3 with Benes and Meffert. They got good impact from Dompey off the bench. He assisted the Yatta goal. And look, they're in good shape. They're in really good shape at the moment. But we've seen this story before with Hamburg. So there's almost similar to Hanover. You just want to see what else they've got. 3 wins in the last 5 games is very, very good. But their next three games. Two of the next three will be quite challenging for them. Kiel away, which seems to be a potential banana skin game. They return with Eintracht Braunschweig, and then obviously the Hamburg derby, which will be the big game for them going forward. Magdeburg, they look a bit devoid of confidence. Lucas Schuler in particular, who started the season really well. He had two really great opportunities in this game. One in the first half where he just didn't shoot the ball for some reason. I think the ball might have got trapped under his boots, but yeah, big opportunity missed there. And then he had a one-on-one situation, which was eventually turned away by the defense. And it just doesn't have the confidence. Then they lose Daniel Elfadli as well when he gets sent off. Just, yeah, it was an unnecessary challenge. It was dangerous. It was reckless. And now before the international break, you've got that game against Hansa Rostock, which is now massive because given the form of both sides, we'll talk about Rostock in Group 3, it's, you know, we're reaching critical on both sides in terms of where are they progressing to? Because the, you know, despite both teams looking unbelievably good heading, you know, after the opening few games and we had the international breaks and, but they've just completely lost all semblance of form. They're still scoring, they can still score goals, but they're just, yeah, they're putting themselves in a really difficult situations and, you know, it's, you know, we all can get mesmerized by Christian Tietz football, but, you know, you got to get results as well. And Magdeburg are willing to take the risk, but the question will be for how long. So they get Hansa, you know, we'll see what happens in that game. If they lose, then maybe they have a decision to make, maybe they don't. Osnabrück and then Kaiserslautern are the next two games coming out of the break. Speaking of Kaiserslautern, let's talk about them. They welcomed Greuther Fürth to the Fritz-Walter Stadion on Saturday afternoon, and they were hopeful that they could translate their 3-2 cup win against FC Köln into a victory in the league. Greuther Fürth were disappointing in their cup exit to Regionalliga side Homburg. A response was necessary in the league play, but they got the response. A 2-0 win for them in the end. Goals from Gideon Jung with a wonderful set piece, and then the penalty goal from Julian Green was enough to see Fürth and Alexander Zorniger's side move into sixth place on top of that group of teams we mentioned who are tied on 18 points. They leapfrog Kaiserslautern on goal difference. The form is starting to improve for Fürth. 3 wins in the last 4 games, which is 1 point worse off than St. Pauli and Wien Wiesbaden. It's been okay. Like, we saw Green get the penalty duties. We've spoken about Hogota missing consecutive penalties in the last 2 games. And, yeah, sensational. They were just efficient. They were able to create, you know, 6 of their 12 shots on goal, managed to test Julian Kral, who gave away the penalty in the second half. And I think maybe we need to talk about Julian Kral a little bit. His last few games have been really poor, and the mistakes have led to goals. You know, we spoke about the improbable goal from Miro Mulheim last week, where Kral just gets under the ball and misses it. Here, it's a penalty. Just doesn't need to. I mean, I guess this is the thing that I can use my useless experience on as a goalkeeper, where Kral has to kill the play. So you either take the ball or you've got to do something. Don't let the referee make a decision. And it just, sometimes he's not often, I don't feel he's as convincing off his line, and he doesn't have the conviction you need at times. And look, that's really harsh in critiquing, but those mistakes are killers. You know, in a 1-0 game where you're creating opportunities, you're getting Boyd involved in the game, and, you know, you're really threatening the defense, especially a strong start to the second half. And then to give away a soft penalty, it gets 2-0. And again, I know I say that 2-0 is the worst lead in football when you get the goal and, you know, momentum's yours. But you'd much rather be 1-0 down. At least you've got, you can really put Fürth under pressure, a defense that has improved somewhat. Second consecutive clean sheet in the league. But yeah, I was just really disappointed with what Kaiserslautern did defensively, and then they lose Boris Tomiak with a red card. It was clumsy. It just was silly. It was dangerous. I think the red cards that we saw throughout the match, they were fair. They might seem a bit harsh, and obviously you're looking at, there's the intent. The intent's always to go for the ball in those situations, but yeah, they fall under the category of dangerous play. Then I think we're okay with that. So yeah, they clearly miss Ragnar Ake as well. In this game, they could have really used a body to get the ball into the box. I think Boyd's just a little bit of a different sort of player to Ake. And even though Boyd had his chance, I think he hit the post in this game as well. They really missed Ake. Not to say that Boyd wasn't, he was fine in this game. He just, you know, you need a goal. Could have really changed the complexion of the game. But yeah, a lot of their shots were really from distance. And, you know, you have 16 shots on goal and you manage, you know, the quality of the shots they had weren't high enough to really test Jonas Ulbig, which was a change of pace for him because he's had some games where they've been really peppering him. So, well, Kaiserslautern are away at Wiesbaden, then they return against Kiel and Magdeburg in that top game. Fürth, they've got two consecutive home games. They've got Düsseldorf. Then, returning from the break, they've got Wiesbaden before a trip to Braunschweig sets them up for the next three games as we slowly tilt towards the end of the Hinrunde. Let's take our final break, and on the other side, we're going to discuss the final three games of Match Day 12, starting at the Ostseestadion. It's Hansa Rostock against Hertha Berlin. Coming off victory in the DFB Pokal round of 32 against Mainz, Hertha are hoping to continue their excellent form from the midweek game against the Hansa Rostock side that had only won once in their last eight games. In a game that was cagey, challenging, difficult, and low on high-quality offence, neither side really could find the back of the net. Both goalkeepers in Marcus Kolke and Tjaak Ernst were fantastic in the game, both keeping clean sheets as the score was settled with a 0-0 draw. The best chances, really, on both sides. Fabian Riese, wearing the captain's armband, it really suits him, to be honest. He's really shown great leadership since joining Hertha in the summer. But yeah, he forced a good save from Kolke. The best chance for Hansa, they had Dennis Dressel hit the post from range, and Juan Jose Pereira had that unbelievable chance. The ball falls to him inside the box, but Pascal Clemens makes an unbelievable tackle, and there was a thought that maybe it could be a penalty. The referee, Martin Pedersen, waved away, and correctly so. It was just all ball by Clemens. Interesting to see what kind of lineup that Hertha brought out in this game. We saw Florian Niederlechner get a start for the first time since, I think, match day two would have been the last time we've seen him in the starting 11. You know, they were quite young defensively, you know, with Dardai and Gekner, who we saw quite a bit at Eintracht Braunschweig last season during the Rückrunde. But yeah, him and Martin Dardai were quite good. They were compact. They get Mark Oliver Kempf back next week. But yeah, they get Niederlechner in the starting 11, as I said, but he left the game with an injury. He's been a bit luckless. The last time he started, I believe he left the game with injury as well. So for Hertha, the draw's not the worst thing. However, a win would have put them in that group of teams with 18 points, would have actually put them up to 7th, as they are the only team in the bottom half of the table with a positive goal difference. So there's a nice little statistic about Hertha this season. But it's the improvement's been there. They've started to progress. It seems like Tjaak Ernst is going to be their number one. You know, Marius Gersbeck was on the bench for this game, but I think Ernst has, you know, really applied himself excellently since he's become the number one, with Oliver Christensen leaving for Fiorentina after match day two. So I would stick with it. I think it's really working for them. It is their first clean sheet since match day six. It's their first away clean sheet of the season as well. So there's some positives to take away for it for Hertha. For Hansa, it's a point. Given how hard it's been for them over the last period, it's their first draw of the season as well after 12 match days. Defensively, they're still fine. 17 goals conceded, and if you look at the teams around them, that's better than anyone in the bottom half of the table. But the same problem as last season is still there. They can't score goals. 11 goals this season, it's the second worst attack in the division ahead of Eintracht Braunschweig. And as we mentioned in the Hamburg Magdeburg piece, that Ostderby game against between them and Magdeburg is massive, not just in terms of showcasing that there can be additional progress and development, but for both coaches. I think Alois Schwarz is under some real heat, and the fact they've lost 7 of their last 9 games after winning 3 of their opening 4 is, yeah, it's like there are signs there. You can see what he wants them to do. You can see that they are much better defensively than they were last season, but he hasn't fixed the revolving cast of attacking players, hasn't found a solution that is stable enough to constantly go back to the well and use. You know, I was a little bit surprised they didn't play, they didn't start Purga. They brought him on late. He was a late substitution, which is just strange. So there must be something going on in that situation. But yeah, they went with Junior Brumado. We saw Pereira come on, and Fruhling came on in the second half as well. But yeah, really interesting. They're still trying to figure it out. It's clear, and you know, that Magdeburg game, and then they've got St. Pauli at home, which is a derby game that will be very difficult, and then Karlsruhe, who are in a similar situation to them. So yeah, position A is looking really good for Hertha. They're starting to progress. They're moving up. Rostock, they just need a win. They need some sort of hope heading into the international break, and they can rebuild. But finding an attacking player that you can trust in whatever system they play, whether it's a 3-4-3 or a 4-2-3-1 like they did on the weekend, just finding someone who can be a reliable offensive target has proven once again to be such a challenge, regardless of who is coaching them at the moment. We mentioned Karlsruhe. Let's talk about them. They welcomed Paderborn to the Wildparkstadion on Sunday afternoon. And what a frustrating outing it was for Christian Eichner's side. They go down 3-0. And it can only be described as a game of just wasted opportunity. 16 shots on goal, they had 7 of them on target, but no goals to show for it. I think the ones that were probably most notable were Igor Matonovic's efforts. He had that one where the ball comes to him inside the 6 and he somehow loops it over the bar. Like, Matonovic is their guy. I think that's him with Schleusner and Stindl in behind. Offensively, it works. I know they didn't score in this game, but they were very strong at creating opportunities. But it's defensively where they really just they don't. What if it's this? It seems systematic. It seems like a real scheme fit is not working for them. 3 of the 4 were substituted. I mean, Jung was injured midway through the first half. Heiser and Beifuss came on at halftime for Herald, and Bormuth's mistake led to the opening goal of the game. Adriano Grimaldi was the recipient in the end after Muslia picked Bormuth's pocket. And the 2 goals after that were just horribly defended. I think Platter's first goal was well taken. The second one was, it seemed like Paderborn lulled them to sleep, and they completely forgot Platter was on the pitch, because when the ball comes into him from the wide area, the cross from Robert Leipertz, I just can't believe he was unmarked. It's just unbelievable, inconceivable that the guy who'd scored 14 minutes earlier from a wonderful pass from Philip Bilbia would be wide open and completely unmarked. And a fantastic finish from Platter to get the goal. For Paderborn, it's 3 wins in the last 5. They were winless in their last 2 heading into this game. They now sit 9th with zero goal difference, 20 goals for, 20 goals against. Important for them as well. We know defensively they've really struggled. Players being out of form, finding the right sort of fit for them in terms of personnel. I know Lukas Kwasniok was quite happy with their performance in the cup as well, beating Freiburg 3-1 away. But it, really important for them, it's their first clean sheet of the season in league play. They've got one clean sheet, and that came in the Pokal against Energie Cottbus when they pumped them 7-0. So something to build upon for them. I think structurally, they're always going to be a chance when you've got Muslia. Bilbia's really been good for them when he's been implemented into the starting lineup. And their next 3 games before their cup game against Bayer Leverkusen are potentially winnable. You know, they're all, 2 of the 3 teams are in around where they are, in Nuremberg, Elversberg, and then Hanover. So there's got to be a confidence level that they can actually get some results. And if they can beat Nuremberg at home, you know, winning games at home has been a bit of a mixed bag for them this season. Only winning at home twice this season against Wiesbaden and Schalke. They can beat Nuremberg. It gives them a real platform heading into the international break that they are heading in the right direction. Karlsruhe, yeah, it's defense. The defense is really the thing that is holding this team back. And it's just a question of whether or not they can find a mix that will work for them. And they've tried Marcel Franke and Robin Bournemouth for the majority of the season. And look, admittedly, have been quite critical and with cause. And again, another mistake. They get done over in the first goal. The second goal is a transition goal where they get caught on the break. And the third goal is just, no one picks up Felix Platter. No one knows he's there. There's no communication. And when Platter gets the ball, it's way too late to make an impact. So their game against Hertha, as much as it's a fan friendship game, like, this is a massive game for Christian Eichner. This team was expected to develop as a potential smoky top 6 kind of team. That's, you know, what this squad was ultimately built for. They weren't built to play relegation type football. And now we really get to see what Christian Eichner is as a manager. Now we've seen him in the adverse situations. Now, at the time of recording this, we've heard nothing. And that might change, which might make all this point absolutely moot. But 3 defeats in the last 4 games. 21 goals conceded, which is around ballpark. It's better than Schalke, it's better than Osnabrück, it's better than Braunschweig. And they're still scoring goals. 17 goals, which is fine. It's serviceable production from the team that they've got. But they just can't... they're just not consistent. They're losing the midfield battle as well. And when you have such an attacking midfield group like they do, they become vulnerable. And Hertha, then they've got Nuremberg and Hansa Rostock. 3 important games and, you know, points count for something. They've got to get some results. And a good time to start would be on Saturday night in Berlin. Finally, let's talk about Osnabrück. They hosted Holstein Kiel on Saturday afternoon at the Bremerbrücke. And heartbreak for Osnabrück. Game ends 1-1. Dave Gnaza got the opening goal. Brilliant goal from him. Outside the box. Pinged it past Tim Advina to make it 1-0. Now, this game easily could have got out of hands for Osnabrück because Lennart Grill was, again, sensational in his performance. A bunch of saves, high-quality saves, to keep their team, to keep Tobias Schweinsteiger's team in the hunt. But unfortunately for them, his effort was all for naught because in stoppage time, Kiel would finally get the breakthrough goal to equalise. And it was set piece, not cleared, and it fell to Benedikt Pickland. Boy, did he do well. Didn't he do well to just chest it down and just put his laces through it. It's a sensational goal. Sensational goal to beat Leonard Gruel. And again, Gruel, so like, if we talk about Gruel in particular, he's had some unbelievable performances this season. We talk about the Kaiserslautern game in particular. He was just unbelievable in that game. And even still, he pulls off some of these remarkable efforts. And they're just not, you know, you almost feel helpless. He's really staking a claim to at least appeal to a team in the summer, you know, given that he's on loan from Union Berlin. But they look Osnabrück did, you know, without glossing over some of the good things they did, they, you know, Osnabrück were very aggressive, very good at taking advantage of, you know, the play in the wide spaces. They looked very good on the counter-attack. We know they've got some very quick players with the likes of Christian Conte, you know, Noel Neiman. We got to see a bit of Kwasi Reid again, which was, you know, as they continue to look for efficient goal-scoring production. It was interesting to see that they opted not to play Maxwell Jemfi at the start. He came on as a late substitute. They went with Weimann, Biermann, and Diakate. And defensively, they were okay. They were okay. And it was, you know, it was a stable performance. And I guess a lot of that was glossed over by how well Leonard Gruel played. So their big game comes this week. They've got Eintracht Braunschweig away. It becomes a must-win situation for them. Then when they return, it's Magdeburg and Schalke. Kiel, Pickler's goal was, as we mentioned, was fantastic. But they struggled really to create some good chances. I think Shuto Machino, who we saw for the first time in 3 weeks, had some chances he should have scored in this game. And just looks a little bit low on confidence overall. But, yeah. They've got their big test is Hamburg. And, you know, look, they're having a really good season. I think they'd be very happy, obviously, being fourth. As we head towards match day 13, is definitely a lot higher than I think most of us had them. But yeah, real good test for them. I'd love to see them against a strong opponent and see how they can match up. And look, I think they're in a really good position to make a really good challenge. But we'll see what happens from there. Before we go, just a couple of things to add. The round of 16 of the DFB Pokal draw has happened, and it's a little bit disappointing, I'm not going to lie. Would love to have seen some Zweite Bundesliga teams play more Bundesliga sides, but the draw is the draw. Out of the Zweite Bundesliga sides, there's 8 of them still left out of the 16, so big up for the best league in German football. Magdeburg and Fortuna Düsseldorf are going to be doing battle. St. Pauli travel to Hamburg. Hertha and Hamburg are doing battle at the Olympiastadion. Paderborn against Bayer Leverkusen at the Bayer Arena. That should be a fascinating contest. Really, really looking forward to seeing how that one gets on. And then it is going to be Kaiserslautern and Nuremberg as the other Zweite Bundesliga games involved. Elsewhere, it's Saarbrücken against Eintracht Frankfurt, Stuttgart and Dortmund, Mönchengladbach against Wolfsburg. We'll leave it on that. Thank you again for listening to the latest episode of the Zweite Bundesliga podcast. We'll be back next week to discuss all of the action from Match Day 13 as we head into the last international break of 2023. I hope you all have a fantastic weekend, enjoying the best that the Zweite Bundesliga has to offer. Stay well and healthy, and I'll see you next time when the Zweite Bundesliga returns.